thank you. Thank you. Do you call Him Lord? Amen. Thank God. Thank God that He is indeed our Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just feel God's presence here today. Mighty way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 20. We begin the fifth sermon in this series on the Ten Commandments, and we begin with this cartoon as you look up the Scripture. On one side of the road there, you see a guy by himself, and it says, Sermon Series, What God Said. On the other side, you see a great crowd of people gathered at that church, and it says, Sermon Series, What You Want to Hear, What You Would Rather Hear. You know, we laugh at that cartoon, but sadly, there's more truth in there than that we care to remember or want to realize. We must say what God said. Amen? We must do that. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. We have that verse for you. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord your God is giving you. This fifth commandment is really the turning point, if you would, of the final six commandments. And these final six commandments are dealing with our relationship to others. If we keep the first four commandments, and these first four are all directed to God, if we keep them truly and sincerely and earnestly, it will not be hard at all to keep these last six commandments, which are directed to how we treat our fellow man. This truth holds forever. If we're in the right relationship with God, then we're much more likely to fulfill our obligations to one another. If your heart is right with God, then you will treat your mother and your father rightly. You will not kill. You will not commit adultery. You will not steal. You will not bear false witness. You will not covet. You will not do any of those final six commandments if your heart is right with God. These last six commandments are often referred to as the marble pillars. I'll say that correctly. Marble pillars, which hold up the social order of the world. And they really are the pillars that hold up the social order of the world. For people to claim that the Ten Commandments aren't really appropriate for Christians today, people say that. Many people claim that they're just remnants of the Old Testament law, and they don't apply to us any longer. We're all in the age of grace now. Why would you want to preach on the law and the Ten Commandments? To those that would say that, let me just respond by saying the Ten Commandments isn't just about laws. They're really about love. They're about our love of God. They're about our love toward one another. The first four commandments tell us how to love God, and the last six tell us how to love each other and respect each other, how to respect and give honor to God, and how to respect and give honor to our fellow man. So this fifth commandment, the fifth commandment is the first of these final six that we'll look at, directed toward our fellow man. And it's certainly in the right place. What I mean by that, being in the right place, is that you can't love and respect others until you learn to have love and respect for your parents. You just can't do it. One comes before the other. It's foundational. God understands that all of our relationships begin as a family, within the unit as a family. And He tells us as sons and daughters how we should treat our parents, our mothers, and our fathers. The family, according to the Word of God and God's plan, the family is a divine institution. It was created by God. It's the foundation. The family is the foundation of all human society. And that's why today you see the forces of hell coming against the family unlike anything we've ever seen. Because He wants to destroy it. He knows that when the home decays, then the right relationship between parents and children is destroyed. The right relationship between sons and daughters and their mothers and fathers is completely destroyed. And when that is destroyed in the home, we have chaos. We have disorder. We have chaos and disorder in our communities. And don't we see the evidence of that today in this nation? God help us, we do. It takes us to the first point of the sermon today. If we honor our parents by giving them respect, we honor them by giving them respect, obedience, and reverence. We honor them. It's a commandment from God. It's not a choice. It's a command, isn't it? That you will do this. We'll never call our parents the old man or the old lady. That's just disrespectful. A man was riding on a train, and he's talking to a young man, a young Japanese boy who had not been in America very long, and they're visiting as they're riding on this train. An American mother and her little 12-year-old son sat just the opposite of them on the train across the aisle. And they heard the mother say to her son, she said, "Son, would you get up and get me a drink of water?" And the son replied immediately to the mother. He said, "I will not. I'm busy reading my comic book right now. I'm not going to get up." And the Japanese boy jumped as if a bomb had exploded under him. And he told the man he was talking to, he said, he had never heard anything like that in Japan. I want to tell you, 60 years ago, if you just went back a short 60 years ago, the average American child wouldn't have dared to raise their voice to their parents. They wouldn't have done it. Now, it's very common. How sad that is. We've forgotten the fifth commandment in this land. We don't teach it to our children. And because of that, we see the results. The results is disrespect for parents, disrespect for those in authority, like teachers and principals, and even disrespect for their peers. That's why today you look at college campuses and they're filled with young folks that have no respect for anyone around them, not even their own peers. And it seems like they're always demanding their way. They're always discontented. They're unhappy. They're blaming others. They're demanding their safe places where their little feelings will never be hurt or warped, or their self-absorbed ideologies will never be challenged. That's what we've created when we stop creating the ideal that begins in the family home. That's the respect of those in authority, respect for your parents, and respect for your fellow man. So a lack of honor and respect is always fertile ground for disobedience. A disobedient child it's a drain on society. It's a cancer in the schools. It's a burden for the state. It's a stumbling block within the church. A disobedient child is a great heartbreak to many of their parents. And a disobedient child can be a source of anarchy in our nation. David, if you look back in the Old Testament, in the story of David, David had a son named Absalom. Absalom rebelled against his father's love and against his father's position. Absalom raised an army and he came against his father. But David still loved his son. He still loved him, though his behavior broke David's heart. When the news came that Absalom, his son, was dead, we hear the cry of a father's heart. It's recorded in God's Word as David weeps out these words, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." Jacob had a son named Joseph. And you know the story. Through jealousy, Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. He was taken down into Egypt. But the hand of God and the favor of God was upon Joseph. And Joseph became the second greatest man in all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And hearing that his father was still alive, he arranged to bring his brothers and his fathers down to Egypt. And there he cared for them as long as they lived. Would you rather be an Absalom, breaking your father's heart and bringing him in sorrow to his grave, or would you rather be a Joseph, loving your father and filling his last days with happiness and love and pride? It's such a simple commandment. It's so simple and straightforward. Honor your father and your mother. There are no conditions. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they're good people. It doesn't say honor them if they're full of faith and they love God. It doesn't say honor them if they're righteous and holy or they always do the right thing. There are no conditions. You honor them regardless of their situation. Additionally, we should remember the importance of honoring our parents and caring for them in their time of need. Medical advances and have folks living much longer today. As a result of that, we see our folks, our moms and dads, living in a condition of weakness and sometimes even helplessness, though they're still alive. We should take care of them. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly we should. In 1 Timothy 5 and 8, the Bible says, "But if you provide not for your own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." God's word is really clear. We're to provide for our own. We're to provide for our families, and particularly our mothers and our fathers. If you look back, most of our parents loved us in spite of our faults. And we should do the same for them, especially as they grow old. You remember the story of Jesus when he was dying on the cross. He didn't forget his mother. He looked down at John and he said, "John, behold thy mother." That means that's going to be your mother now. Take care of her. He's so concerned for her. It takes us to our second point today, and that is parents play a role in this commandment. If parents aren't what they ought to be spiritually, if they're not following God, if they're not trusting in Jesus, if parents are just living for themselves, it makes it a lot harder to honor them. But as I said earlier, that doesn't mean we stop honoring. We always give honor to them. But parents should do all they can to show the example of the love of God in their lives, to show the example of their faith in Christ Jesus, to model the behavior of Christ through the fruit of the Spirit. Their lives should show the kindness and gentleness and humility and steadfastness, and they should extend to their children the same grace and the same mercy. Even though they're messed up and they're messing up and disappointing us, we have to show them the same grace and the same mercy that Jesus extended to you and me. God help us. A woman sat at her window, and it was a beautiful spring day, and she was looking out the window, and she watched as a mother bird built her nest in a bush. But it was very low to the ground. The mother could see it was dangerous, and she said to herself, "Oh, my tiny little friend, you're building this nest too low." So the young woman, she went out and she tore the nest down, thinking the mother bird would rebuild it in a higher place. But the bird just insisted on coming back and building the nest in the same low branch. And soon there were several eggs in the nest, and soon there were several little baby birds in the nest. One day, the woman heard the distressed cry of a little bird, that mother bird. She looked out her window, and when she looked at the window, she saw that a snake had found the nest. And the snake was devouring the little birds because the mother bird had built the nest too low. Parents are often guilty of the same thing. They build their nest too low. They build the nest on the things of the world. They give their time to all the things that don't last, that don't mean anything for eternity. They give their own time to the things of the world, and sooner or later, the world comes in and destroys their children. God help us as parents. We must build the nest high. We must build high for our children's sake. We build high when we build it upon the cross of Jesus. We build it high when we build it on the Bible. We build it high when we build it on prayer and on the church. For those parents that do those things are certainly worthy of honor from their sons and their daughters. That takes us to the third point today, the promise. This sermon and the verse is so simple, honor your father and your mother, but then it is followed up in the second half with this promise, the promise that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, let me just say that this promise is not one that says to us, well, if you're just good to your mom and your dad, you're going to be blessed and you're going to go to heaven. There's more to it than that. See, if you're not serving God and trusting in Jesus, even though you're showing honor to your mom and your dad, I wouldn't count on that promise. I would only count on that promise if you're doing both. If you're trusting in Jesus and you're honoring your mother and your father, then you can claim that promise that the Lord gives us. If you want a great nation blessed by God, then you must have children who honor and obey their parents and have parents who honor and obey God with all their heart. That's God's plan, isn't it? That's God's way for us. God's promise tells us that the right kind of children become the right kind of citizens. And the right kind of citizens bring the blessings of God on our nation. We know that's true, don't we? Our nation's strength, our nation's security is not dependent upon the latest gun laws. It's not dependent upon the police department. It's not dependent upon metal detectors or our military might. I'm going to tell you, our nation's security depends upon our people as people of faith and people of character. And when that begins to fall apart, everything begins to fall apart. And we see examples of that all over our nation today. A nation of obedient, God-fearing, parent-honoring people can expect the blessings of God upon it. And likewise, a nation that is not obedient, that is not God-fearing, that is not parent-honoring, can expect disaster. Can't you see that happening right before our eyes? Oh, you can. George Washington's father died when he was just 11 years old. When he was 14 years old, he had a very strong desire to go to sea. And his older brother, Lawrence Washington, was a very well-educated man who had just returned from England. And it was through Lawrence Washington's work that the Washington home had been established on Mount Vernon. But the older brother agreed to give his younger brother George a chance. So Lawrence arranged for George to be awarded a midshipman's warrant in the British Navy. All arrangements were made, and the day came for George to go to sea, to depart from his home. His trunk was already loaded. In fact, it was already placed on the vessel, and he was telling his mother goodbye. But at this moment, when George Washington is telling his mother goodbye, she began to weep and show great sorrow that her son was leaving. And it touched his heart deeply. And he called for someone to go to that vessel and retrieve his trunk and to bring it back, that he wasn't going to sea. I'm going to stay home. It's recorded in history that when he made that decision, that his mother said to him, God has promised to bless the children who honor their parents, and I believe, George, God will bless you. Think about it. If he had gone, it might have gone down in history that he was a great English admiral in the English Navy instead of the first president of the United States of America. And we all know that God kept His promise, and He blessed that man. He blessed the nation. Indeed, God blessed him just as He had honored his mother that day. my desire for myself and my desire for each of you is that when my work on this earth is over and God takes me home, I want my son and my daughter to come look down into that coffin and to look down into my face and say, "Dad, you didn't leave us millions of dollars, but you did leave us a memory and an example of a good life spent in serving Jesus Christ." Oh, there's no greater desire for us as moms and dads. It's the greatest heritage, isn't it? It's the richest legacy that we can leave our children. God help us. Amen. I mean, would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you for this simple truth, this foundational truth to all of society, to us as people, to family, to government. In every way, it begins with this very commandment of God for children to honor their mother and their father. Oh, Father, I ask you now today by the Holy Spirit, help us in this room to share this truth with our children, our grandchildren, and their children. God, let us be bold in declaring the eternal truths of the Word of God and your commandments for us as people and as a family. Father, we pause today and we give you thanks for this truth. We give you thanks for its meaning for our lives. Let us adhere to it and love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, it is our custom on the first Sunday of the month is to worship in Holy Communion. We'll do that today. And we're going to ask the men if they would come forward, and Sherry and Mike are ready. The men are going to come forward to serve us in Holy Communion. I think there's three men that's going to help us today. And I'm going to take just a minute and give our men some instructions here on how we'll do this. Men, each one of these are set up where we have the bread and the wine. If you'll take each of those. So, Brother Ted, if you'll take one. If you'll go to the second row and start at this end and go all the way across. Jerry, if you'll go to the third row and start at the end and go all the way across. And Brother Wood, if you would take this and go to the very back row and start at the end and go all the way across. As the men are serving today, I encourage you, if you're not a member, but you'd like to participate, we encourage you. If you know Jesus as your Savior, we encourage you to begin in honor and worship of our Lord on Holy Communion, to partake it with us, to take and hold the bread and the cup until everyone is served. As the men are serving us, I'm always reminding us, the Bible says, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So we're going to sing this song. Sherry's going to lead us in it today. It's called, Cleanse Me, but I like to call it Search Me, O God. Let's sing this song and mean it with all of our hearts. Sherry?
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Oh, try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and sin. Be free. I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill Thy word. fire, where ought I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love. Passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. O Holy Ghost, revive. Comes from thee, send a revival, start the work in me, thy word declares, thy will supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, men, for serving us this morning. Thank you, Sherry and Mike, for leading us in that beautiful song, Search Me, O Lord. Reading from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and the 23rd verse. For I received from the Lord that which I also declared to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Would you partake of the bread with me this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, which you partake. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We praise you today. We give you glory today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you thankful for Calvary today? Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Aren't you thankful for the righteousness and forgiveness that flows into us because of Jesus? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I want to conclude today our service by just sharing a few words with you as our nation faces a very incredible time coming up this week. I know that the pulpit is not necessarily the place to bring forth political items, so I won't bring forth anything political. But I will tell you this, there is one candidate that stands
for life. There is one candidate that says that he believes in the sacredness of life and would defend life. There's another candidate that says that he's going to change the laws that'll use taxpayer dollars to fund abortions up to the very moment of giving birth. Those are two choices that we make in this election. There is one candidate that stands for religious freedom. He stands for the freedom that gives us the right as a photographer or a baker or a florist to follow our conscience of faith, if that means we don't participate in a same-sex wedding event, that he defends that right of liberty. And we have another candidate that's made it very clear that he supports the so-called Equality Act. And in that act, it will take everything away from religious freedom. It must take a back seat to the perceived claims and perceived rights of the LGBT community. So I'm making it very clear. This is not political. I'm sharing with you eternal truths that we embrace as Christians and how those truths are being dealt with from a legal standpoint of this election. So I will not say verbally, it would be inappropriate for me to say verbally to tell you what person you should vote for. Excuse me, I'm going to fix my socks. Like I said, I'm going to just repeat myself. I'm not going to verbally, it would be inappropriate for me to say anything about, but this one needs to be fixed too. And I'm going to get that sock fixed. There we go. We got that sock fixed as well. So I also, turning to a serious time, we must be in prayer for our nation. We must be in prayer for already our leaders across the nation and across our cities are preparing for disaster and anarchy and rioting. You see that even on the news. Brother Art, I want you to come up here, if you don't mind, and just share as we conclude today. Take just a second, Brother Art. I think you'll need this microphone so that those who are watching on Facebook can hear this. And just share with your heart what you share with me, would you?
This morning during Bible study, the Lord gave me a word, and it's the kind of thing that I came to Brother Len about because I'm saying, oh, it just sounds so, political. And I wanted to be sure that it was truly of the Lord, but this is what happened. He said, the Lord of Nations speaks to this assembly this day. And he said that 2020 has been a year where you have seen anarchy, you have seen chaos, you have seen treason against my word and against my will. Treason, chaos, rebellion are not of me and they're not my character. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And in the next 3 days and over the next 3 months, you will see through the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, that same Spirit who raised my son in 3 days and over the next 3 months, you will see the power of that Spirit raise that which you think you hope for and will make it seen. And you will see my judgment and a declaration bringing an end to this false crowned one. Because I am the king. I wear the true and everlasting crown. I will reveal this. I will illuminate it. I will judge it. And it will end. 3 days, 3 months. Faith, the thing that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Lift up your nation. I, the Lord of nations, speak to you this morning.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Art. Thank you, brother. God bless. Praise God. Would you please stand with me? Thank you, Art, for being obedient to the Lord. Pray for our nation. Be in prayer. Be on your knees. Pray. Trust God. God's in control no matter what. God's got this no matter what. Amen. And we thank God for that faith today. We thank God for the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. God is so good to us. We can't thank Him enough. Brother Mike, surely would you dismiss us in prayer today, sir?